The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's telly time. Ed Smith and Alison Healy are with us. But we're going to bring in Amy Molloy first from the Irish Independent, because Amy, you had a fascinating story about RT's relationship, the Crime Call programme with An Garda Síochána, and the case of video footage of a missing man. Tell us about this, please.
Yeah, so I kind of wrote a piece in the Independent this morning in reaction to a press release that was issued by Gardaí on Monday evening relating to CCTV footage of the last known steps of missing Icelander John Johnson, who's been missing for close to 2 weeks now. So it's kind of unusual for Gardaí to release video footage in the first place, but it kind of came with a caveat in that news organisations weren't allowed to publish it until 10:15 p.m. So after Crime Call, basically. But like myself and my colleagues in the newsroom were discussing it, we thought it was quite bizarre. Like, this is a missing person case. Why were they withholding footage and why was it embargoed?
Get it out there as quickly as possible to assist in the attempts to find this missing man.
Exactly. And Gardaí actually held a media briefing outside the Bonington Hotel on Sunday, which is the last place where John Johnson was seen. And after that press conference, they released CCTV images. So they obviously had the footage. And then it's a question of, well, if they released the images on Sunday, why were they withholding the video footage until 10:15 on a Monday night?
Alison Healy, you're our head of digital here at Today FM. That sounds extraordinary, to actually delay the issuing of information that could be useful in finding a missing person.
Extraordinary is a word for it, Matt. Yeah, I find, having worked in a newsroom, that the more information you have as soon as a missing person is brought to light, that the better chance you have of getting it out there and gaining traction. And I really think that, you know, media are constantly up against each other trying to break things first and get exclusivity. I think that's dropped when you're dealing with a missing person. You're just trying to get the information as quickly as possible out to as many people as possible. And it's shared so much. I think people...
And given all the media were focusing on the search over the weekend, while there was that coverage, you think then show people the pictures of the man while people are interested in the story.
Exactly. And we're living in a world where video is king. And so people were dealing with flat images, and they weren't interacting with it possibly at the rate that they would have if they had the video. So I remember posting missing persons regularly, and the engagement you see on those posts is extraordinary. You could post a news story and you'd see an average engagement on it as soon as you post, saying, looking for help, trying to locate this missing person. People are involved, they're retweeting, they're liking, they're favouring it, they're trying to get it out there. If we'd have had the added opportunity of including a video with this, there's no telling how far it could have gone.
Amy Molloy, was Crime Call given a scoop by An Garda Síochána, or did RT ask for this material to be embargoed so that it could have it first?
Well, I put that question to RT yesterday afternoon, and they came back and said basically all decisions around CCTV footage used on Crime Call are operational decisions made by the guards. And then I went back again and asked, did RT want to have it as an exclusive? And they said no, that wouldn't be a request that we would make. But I think that the interesting thing is Crime Call is a programme which airs once a month. So, like, if someone goes missing on January 1st, or if there's a burglary on January 2nd, it's pretty futile to withhold that footage for 3 weeks just for the sake of a TV show, when it's stuff that you need to be getting out to the public as soon as possible. If you're trying to find a missing person, if you're trying to catch criminals, like, these are time-sensitive cases, so it's stuff that the public need to get. And as Alison was saying there, like, if you put up a missing person appeal on Facebook, that can get 1,000 shares within the space of a couple of hours. Even one of my colleagues a few years ago, she put up a missing person appeal, it was shared on Facebook, and 3 hours later, the person was found. And the family actually got in contact with her and said, thank you. Somebody in the public actually saw the article on independent.ie and got in touch with the guards, and we found our family member. So, you know, like, social media is powerful, and, like, I wouldn't say not everyone watches Crime Call, but everyone uses social media at some
Indeed.
Point.
All right, Amy Molloy from independent.ie, thank you very much for joining us. Of course, there is this thing, Ed, RT do have a habit of sort of demanding that people don't go on radio shows if they're going to be on the Late Late
That's
Show.
That's right,
or
they're
TV
notorious. I'll use the word notorious, Matt, because I can. But I've been working in the radio business for some time. If you have an artist booked and they've been flown in, and then you'll get an email from the record company going, oh, listen, I'm going to have to pull the session because they're going to be on RT, they're going to be on the Late Late Show on Friday. RT have that I suppose, that power to go.
Oh, we've suffered that here.
They
in
cannot
this
appear
as well
on any other station. It is very frustrating.
And then the irony is that they don't have any difficulty having somebody on the radio, on RT radio early in the week, appearing on the Late Late Show on a Friday night, but seem to have an issue if they appear on other stations.
And it's not just, you know, your massive music stars. It could be any, you know, it could be a local Irish musician. If they're appearing on the Late Late Show, it is embargoed. And, you know, whatever, fair dues from their point of view. But the I think this is absolutely
abuse
outrageous.
Of a monopoly position.
I would say that. I couldn't use those words, Matt. You can. But I think it's absolutely outrageous to use the CCTV footage of this poor man who is missing and treat it as content, as you would, as Alison would. For
it's a public service station. Remember, that's why we pay the license fee.
And every minute
as well.
Counts. And there is a different level of engagement. An hour makes a massive difference from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. As Alison would tell you from the figures, that people at 10 p.m. are in a different place. They're in a different engagement. Social media, 9 o'clock, maybe at the limits of, you know, prime time when, you know, people are on Twitter or whatnot. So that hour and 15 minutes makes a huge difference. Every second counts with cases
exactly.
like this.
Exactly. I think what happened was the sense of urgency, it was filtered. You first got an image, then you had a crime call, and then you had a third treatment of this man. And the sense of urgency was completely lost. And that's just not good enough.
Okay. Alan Partridge, the return on Monday night. What did you make of it, Ed?
Yeah, I'm a Partridge fan since 91. I go back. I'm original.
No,
I'm
the
an
OG.
Original gangster. Yeah,
the OG.
I prefer his early stuff. So I go back.
This
as far
going
as
back to the day today when he
well,
was
on
just
the, on
merely
the hour.
A sports reporter. Oh,
I was
from
on
the radio.
BBC Radio 4, Matt, okay. I pushed my glasses up my nose.
Nerd.
1991. And then, of course, he was on the day today with 94. Then he got his own show. The same year called Knowing Me, Knowing You. So this show, so this show harks back to his live incarnation back in the day, 94 with Knowing Me, Knowing You. It is a kind of a taking the mick out of the one show, which is on BBC, which is bizarre in its own right. So he has been shunted in to co-present with a female presenter called Jenny Grisham. Who's
played, very like Christine Bleakley.
She's very good.
She is very good at it.
Played by Susanna Fielding with great aplomb, I have to say. And she's a great foil for Partridge in this. So he's your kind of Richard Madeley kind of character. They've shoehorned him in, maybe ill-prepared, as he is at the best of times.
Let's hear a clip from it.
Hello and welcome to This Time with me, Jenny Grisham, and, a new face today. As some of you may have read, John is unwell and can't be with us tonight, but we're sending him all our love, aren't we? But until his return, we are in the safe, capable, smooth hands of Mr. Alan Partridge.
Thank you. And very thank you for noticing the hands. I recently changed creams, so good to see they're getting results and they're not quite so,
So let's
not quite so cracked. So let's have a little. That's you. Sorry.
So let's have a little look at the busy life of Mr. Alan Partridge.
And we're off.
Why did I say that about my effing hands? Sorry,
fine.
It was just nice. It's like not been on HD before, so you want them to be at the best. You know, I'm a little bit rusty. Need a drop of oil, like the robot from the Wizard of Oz.
You're fine. Business as usual.
Yeah.
Just remember, business as usual. Could you sport to the next one?
Business as usual. It's a good note. Business as usual.
The best bit, though, Ed, I have to say, is not one that we can run on radio.
It's more visual,
It was a visual gag where he actually did about how to go into a toilet on a train
without using your hands. That
and
was textbook
brilliant.
Partridge. It was textbook Partridge, that the choreography of that people are going to be reenacting for years. But generally, I really felt that it really didn't take off. And I was in contact with Muireann O'Connell during watching this, because of course she presents in the 6 o'clock show every evening. And I said, how close to home is this? And the language I got back on my WhatsApp has been almost banned from what, like, it really is. Like, from her point of view, she thought it was really on the money. I just didn't feel it got the best out of him. It's an early start. It's only the first episode, but I think Partridge is better left on his own when he's let loose and all that kind of carnage that follows. But I just didn't really feel it.
Now, Netflix has changed the ending of what's regarded as a much loved classic film. Which one? Do you love it, Alison?
No, I hate it. It's The Notebook. But there's uproar about this today. So Netflix UK have the Notebook. It's been on there ages. It constantly comes up and recommended for me to watch because I watch utter tripe on Netflix. And I watched it the other day and noticed something very strange in that they'd completely changed the ending of this iconic film. I think everybody has seen it, Matt.
I haven't. I'm sure you have. Absolutely have not seen The Notebook, no. Really? Ed, have you seen it?
I have seen it many times and have cried every single time.
Like
you have
baby.
Antifreeze for blood. You have no soul if you don't cry.
But would you cry at the new ending? What are they? I mean, okay, I'm taking it. Spoiler alert. Most people have seen The Notebook apart from myself, haven't they?
So am I allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, thanks very much. At the end, they die in each other's arms. A couple who are estranged
and
they come back.
You just spoiled it for so many people, Alison.
Shut up.
Matt, set up.
Okay.
But not in the reworked version, is it?
Just at the end, before you know that they've died, they are cuddled together in a bed, and it's an iconic shot of this old couple squeezed together, and it's absolutely beautiful, and everybody's bawling their eyes out. And then excluding Rue. And then
monster.
And then it. Guys, I'm going to cry now. Is that better?
That's better.
Then at the end, you realise it comes back to them and they've died in each other's arms. Blah. And then this new version, they're in the bed, they're cuddling together, they've reunited. And then birds on a lake just fly in and it cuts to the credits and it's not the right ending. And people have lost their minds. They're not happy.
And rightly so. That is the ending is the film as such.
How can they take editorial control over?
I think it's a licensing issue. I think most
for the last shot in the film.
I think that Netflix have more of a legal right to tinker with the film because of something to do with some licensing issues. And also, there's talks of because it's more reflective of what happened in Nicholas Sparks' book. Because there was a sequel to the book.
I hate this conversation. It was more in fitting with the original book.
Okay, well, in that case,
why don't we just... The facts,
I was talking to Ian Guider during the business news earlier about the Netflix rival that BBC and ITV are thinking of, BritBox.
Well, I think the bosses of BritBox would be at pains to dispel rival kind of context. This is a new streaming service that they're looking to release the back catalogue, basically, of BBC and ITV shows.
Reruns of Benny Hill.
And Morse, which I'm kind of digging. You've got the iPlayer now at the moment, but that's for a limited time only. So they've got this huge back catalogue of content. And
which I thought the best of it's on Netflix anyway.
But there's going to be a whole heap of licensing deals that will give people a headache. It's supposed to come out at the end of this year. Interestingly, it's got around a 25 million investment projected to be 40 million next year. But that actually just costs one season of The Crown, Matt. So, yeah, they're not spending what you'd think that they'd need to spend.
They tried this about 10 years ago with an oddly named Project Kangaroo, which sounds like something you'd do for Australian television. But it was blocked by the Competitions Commission, which ITV and BBC and the likes have now said, well, if you hadn't blocked it then, you've paved the way, essentially, for Netflix. So they're taking another run at this. And interestingly, it's already up and running in the States.
Yes.
It has 500,000. It's the same thing. Yeah. Customers. But the new service will only be open to British subscribers. This is interesting. They will only be able to watch on a holiday within the EU and only if the government strikes a trade deal with Brussels.
Was that real?
Yeah. Brexit Box is not coming to a screen near you. I could just see the lads on ITV going, what's this crack? Oh yeah, we have to wait for Brexit to get through and Theresa May. All right, that's that done. Okay. 25 minute pound down the tube.
Right, we have a few minutes. Just give us your picks of the week in case we run out of time. What are you going for, Alison?
I'm going for, and I'm sure I'll get bashed for this now, the Umbrella Academy. So
what's
just
that?
Hold your fire, Ed. Hold your fire. It's very, very watchable is what it is, Matt, right? Which is why it's a pick of the week. So it's a superhero series on Netflix and it follows this unconventional family, kind of a group of gifted young people. They were adopted when they were born by an eccentric billionaire's children. So basically, back in the 70s, women found themselves giving birth, but they weren't even pregnant that morning. Then all of these gifted children were born. He manages to get seven to live with him. They're all estranged when we catch up with them, even from episode one. The dad, I'm not even saying spoiler alert because no, the dad dies in episode one. So he clocks it and then they work together to solve his mysterious death and also to save the world because obviously
that's
every
good because that's the plot line. It's not like you're giving away something.
And Robert Sheehan's in it. So if you
want to and do you know who else is in it? Mary J. Blige or Bilge, as you like to say, Matt.
Never gets old.
So Ellen Page, I love Ellen Page from Juno fame. Our very own Robert Sheehan, as Ed said, is in it. He's brilliant in it. I really think
you
should watch
it. You don't look impressed.
He's an irritant in this. I saw the first episode of this. It barely kept me interested. I will go. I always give a series 3 episodes out of fairness. And I did that with Russian Doll and I'm very glad I did.
Okay, what's your You now like Russian Doll? Okay.
Oh, I loved it, yeah.
Right, okay. What's your pick of the week, though?
Three Identical Strangers, absolutely staggering documentary,
oh,
which
yes.
I caught recently on a plane. It's coming up on Channel 4, 9 p.m. this Thursday, tomorrow. In fact, it tells the story of...
Spoiler alert, so it's three identical strangers.
Spoiler alert to you in a minute. It's three triplets who didn't know of each other's existence, and their paths cross each other, and how they were separated at birth and why is absolutely jaw-dropping. So it's definitely worth a watch. Absolutely mind-bending documentary coming up Channel 4, 9 p.m. tomorrow night.
And just one more pick of the week, Michael Cohen's testimony, if anybody's knocking around tonight. It's
well,
just
we have the audio.
Watch.
If you missed it earlier, the piece we did with Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown, Robin Callaghan put together all of the audio for us. And we have that up as a podcast as well, if people want to hear it. But tell us, why is Grey's Anatomy going to enter the record books this week?
It's the most boring, pointless show in US TV history.
I think you're a TV Grinch.
No.
I'm outing you.
I loved the Netflix.
Look, I hung in for 12 seasons. I think it's now in its...
12
like,
seasons
yeah, I think it's now, in its 280th season. But I had to throw in the towel. Tomorrow, Grey's Anatomy will now become the longest running primetime medical drama in TV history. So it's overtaking ER. This Thursday's episode, We Didn't Start the Fire, it will be its 332nd episode.
It's like that old person, but the only interesting thing about them is their age.
What?
When someone says, how old are you? I'm 79 now. Anything else? No.
But no, because it's...
It should have been put to bed.
It's the number
one... It should have been put out of its misery.
It's
euthanasia many seasons ago.
We have to finish.
Sorry.
We have to put you out of your misery, Ed Smith and Alison Healy. Thank you very much for being with us this evening.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.